Okay, so in the interest of honoring everybody's time, we'll go ahead and get started. I appreciate you coming, and this January 17th, 2023 meeting of the School Health Advisory Council will begin. I would like to go ahead and ask that we move presentations forward because I have folks here from YES by Zoom, and I'd like for them to talk to you, and then our counselors will go next, and then we'll go back to the top of the agenda. So are you with us, Megan?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
We can hear you well, and so can the group.
Perfect. Okay, are you ready for me to go ahead and get started?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you all so much for your time. Like you mentioned, my name is Megan, and I work with the Youth Equip to Succeed. And we partner schools all over Texas and the U.S. to provide student, parent, and staff development programs. To date, we have reached over 4.8 million students, parents, and staff, and then educators all over the world with our programs. Our mission is growing value and vision in youth while combating isolation and imparting hope. We believe that a connected student is a protected student, and that's what we have hoped to do with all of our programs. So today I'm here to talk to you about our motivational experience programs that we have been doing in surrounding schools close to you guys, with Keith and Sarah Davis in their Healthy Relationship and Teen Dating and Violence program. Here, I'm just going to kind of walk through their program. And in their outline as well. Keith Davis is a former NFL football player and Rose Bowl champion whose message about winning and losing that he has learned over the years. He focuses on education and the excellence they have already possessed. They too can be champions for students. Sarah is a wellness coach, certified safe trainer, and certified sexual risk avoidance specialist. As a former collegiate All-American track and field sprinter, Sarah uses her experience from the track to give real-life examples that relate to what students across the country are experiencing today. In their Healthy Relationships and Dating Violence program, Keith and Sarah dive into the important topics such as healthy boundaries, love versus lust, and self-respect. Their unique format of having both female and male perspectives in one assembly allows students to learn the importance of self-control while also empowering them to raise up from peer pressure. Together, Keith and Sarah challenges male students to be strong and respectful young men of character, and for the female students, challenge them to see and appreciate their inherent value and self-worth. And that's a little bit about Keith and Sarah and their program. And here is kind of a breakdown of their program and the outline of what they will be talking about throughout their programs. Keith will start out on his family relationships. Our family relationships often influence how we see others and ourselves. And then he'll go into dating violence, the signs of unhealthy relationships as well. And then he'll continue on to the difference between love and lust and go into a couple of examples. And then protecting your dreams and future, making right choices by listening to right voices. And then Sarah will come in and also speak about her story, and she will talk about boundaries. And she talks about the boundaries of commitment, compromise, and conflict. And because they're both athletes, Keith talks about a lot of football, and he also does some strongman stunts, where he will get the students interactive and involved throughout the program to keep their attention and entertain. And then as well as Sarah, she uses her track experience as well when she talks about the boundaries of commitment, compromise, and conflicts. And so together, their healthy relationship and teen dating violence is a highly motivational experience assembly that students and administrators love. And we have heard great things about this program, and it is one of our top programs for Keith and Sarah as well. So again, just to kind of recap, they will talk about their personal stories and mix in the topic of healthy relationship and teen dating violence in their programs for each grade level. And they will pertain to the age group that they're at. So the intermediate students might hear of something a little different from the high school students, seeing that the age varies between those two. So that is Sarah Davis. In their program here at Youth Equip 16.
Can you repeat that?
Does anyone in the group have any questions for Megan regarding this program?
What does it cost?
My understanding is it's about $5,300. Is that right, Megan? We weren't really going to focus too much on cost today. First, we're going to just focus on whether Shaq, wanted to use it. And then it would kind of be up to the campuses if they want to figure out a way to fund it through different funding sources. But it's around $5,300. Is that right, Megan? Oh, boy.
Did we lose her?
Yeah, here we lost her.
Sorry, I think I may have lost you.
Yeah, sorry. So there was a question that came up. Oops. There was a question that came up about cost.
Oh, awesome. Yes. So I was explaining earlier to James the program. So you will receive up to 3 45- to 60-minute programs. You can split those three programs between the junior high and high school, however you would like, between two at the high school, one at the junior high, or vice versa. The program cost is $5,300. That's travel included, and again, that includes up to 3 45- to 60-minute programs.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the group?
Is it like a one-time presentation?
It sounded like it was three one-time presentations, correct? So you grab three different groups?
Correct. So most of the time you would split them up into grade levels. So if you wanted to do like 7th and 8th together, and then 9th through 10th and 11th through 12th. So the programs last 45 to 60 minutes, and it's just for the one day. And those programs would be split throughout that one day.
Okay. And it's just a question from me. Is there any follow-up materials or a website that the kids can visit and see afterwards or anything like that?
We can definitely dive in with Keith and Sarah and come up with some follow-up, maybe questions and activities they can do in their classroom or outside of the classroom to keep them motivated and to continue on. A lot of this, so this is going to be like your large assembly type programs where the students are either in a gym or an auditorium or cafeteria. It's super engaging. But as of right now, I can talk with my team and see if we have any follow-up material.
Okay.
If not, we can definitely get something.
Okay, and kind of how the process has been working for us this year is we're required to meet twice on each program that we consider. So what we did last time is we had an initial presentation, kind of like we're doing today, and then the group had a chance to kind of sit back and think about it and send me questions, if there were some, and then we would send them on to you so that you could then respond, and we'd have something to discuss a second time before we took a formal vote. So that's kind of where we are. I don't... We want to rush things, but does anybody else have anything while we have Megan here? Megan, I think we're good.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, if you have any more questions, just feel free that we can send them over and I'll get them answered, and then we can look forward to the next meeting as well.
Okay, we appreciate your time very much.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much again for allowing me to speak about you for to succeed, and hope to hear from you soon.
Okay, take care. Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
How long has that program been around?
Well, I know that our list has them as an approved vendor already.
Have we ever reached out to any other schools that they've gone to and gotten any feedback like, hey, yes, they are awesome, or don't waste your money? I mean, is there any feedback that we know of?
I have not, but that's one of the questions we can ask them, if they have some local contacts that we could follow up with and get some information
from
them.
That would be good. I think I'm concerned about the cost, mm-hmm. and your idea of combining grade levels concerns me too.
Okay.
Because the sheer number of students that we have per grade level, it's a lot.
Two sessions at the high school is about 1,000 each session.
Yeah.
So
message in one day.
The message that you're trying to get across to 1,000 students at one time, I think it's going to get lost.
Sure.
And that's a lot to cover in 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
It's more of like just the check that you've done, you know, they like check off.
Right.
We did it.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable with that.
Sounds good. Well, I will definitely put it out there for you guys to send me questions. And I'll look for some folks who had it around, and then that'll give us a chance to have a little bit more information before we vote on it next time.
Okay. So if we approve that, all that does is say, then it goes to the school board, and then they got to decide whether we want to spend that money or go that route or whatever. All we're basically doing is saying their program seems appropriate.
Correct. Correct. And what we need to do is build that library of programs, right?
Yeah.
So that there's more than just one option, and one size doesn't fit all. But these folks were on our approved list in 2019. So technically, they're still approved, but they changed their name, and don't get me lying about what their name used to be. But
I think, is this the one that was Aim for Success?
I think it was.
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was. Did we ever use them?
No.
They merged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was around 2019. So, it's on their website. I've looked at their website.
Okay.
There are several programs out there, different organizations that do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I know there's one out there called Can I Kiss You or May I Kiss You? I think it's... Anyway, there's more than just.
So what I think I hear you saying is we should really be that group that when the board comes and says, hey, we need this or that or whatever, we have some suggestions for that. This would be a program that would probably meet those.
Yes, sir. And what I've been doing is asking our counselors, because they're the ones really where the rubber meets the road, right, is what do you have and what do you want me to bring before Shaq? And that process has kind of been a little slow, right? But we're working hard at it, and we might have to have an extra meeting this year because of that. But really what we're trying to do is just build a library of those materials so that counselors and educators have options.
So we have nothing like this set up as of yet?
Well, there's material in our regular textbooks regarding these things in the TEKS of the health curriculum. And in just a moment, you're going to hear from the junior high, because we've really been talking about this, because there's a lot of great programs out there, and then somebody says, okay, well, that's $6,300, or that's $10,000, right?
Right.
And so that's a pretty good segue into what we're doing next, is I have our two junior high counselors here, and what they've done is pretty much through already Texas State-approved books, where the TEKS that cover that, is they put together a presentation for their school. So even though they were already kind of in an approved Texas book and an adopted book for our district, we wanted to have you guys come up and talk about that. So that's kind of next, and that's really an organic process, but I think that's really great, you know, if we can come up with some of our own materials over time. So are you guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If y'all don't mind introducing yourselves.
Sure. I'm Shelley Book, and I'm the 7th grade counselor, and this is Sandy DeLeon, and she's our 5th grade counselor.
Hello.
And Sandy is going to start off with our first presentation. We are going to be talking to you today about human trafficking, child abuse, family violence, and dating violence. And Sandy's going to present the one on the East.
Hello. So we're faced with this situation of how do we cover these topics that the Texas Education Code are saying we need to cover these, we need to offer this to our students. How can we do that in the best way? And we know that we have to start doing that this year. So there's lots of programs that we may look into, but we decided let's start off with a presentation of just some basic information to share with students. And so that's what we've done today. It's kind of a work in progress, but let's see what you think of it. So this one is on dating violence. Of course, here is the law, right, that we must provide or offer district students this information. That was the most recent time that was reviewed was in 2021. This is from our health book. So the Texas health book, and there are the TEKS for the health that have been approved. So this particular presentation is on dating violence. So, or intimate partner abuse is now the new term. So the first thing is understanding. We can talk about dating violence, but first let's try to understand with junior high kids, what is a relationship, right? That's the most basic concept, is what is a relationship? And so really it's the connection we have between with other people. So healthy relationships improve all our lives, right? They make our lives better. We're at peace, we're successful when we have good, positive, healthy relationships with others. In the same way, when our relationships are unhealthy, they really do affect our bodies, our mental health, our success in our work and school. And so identifying what is a relationship is the basic thing in this presentation. And then understanding that there are different kinds of relationships, right? So we have relationships that we have with our families, relationships that they have with their friends and with their peers, community relationships, like relationships like student-teacher relationships, right? Or coach-student relationships. And then what we're focusing on today is the dating or romantic kind of relationships. So understanding what is a relationship, what kinds of relationships there are, and then what does dating really mean? Because for the most part, that's a pretty new concept for like junior high kids. Sometimes, you know, they'll call it, I'm going out with someone, right? And so what does dating mean? So really spending some time with a person that they are really interested in romantically, meaning that there is some chemistry, some connection with that person that draws them to each other, right? And then the decision to date is a very personal one. So, you know, some kids will say that they're going out, you know, intermediate or even younger. And then some kids, there's nothing like goes on like that until they're in high school, right? So it's a very personal decision for each individual student. And then, of course, the last one there is that some families do not, you know, want their children to date. That is not something that they're going to consider, think about, or do. Until they're older. And that's also like a family decision. So what is a healthy relationship? Or what are some qualities that kids need to know of what a healthy relationship looks like, right? On the most basic terms. First of all, that there's honesty, right? And that people can talk about their feelings in a relationship, that there's that trust between the two people, mutual respect and what that means, caring and understanding, commitment to each other, and supporting each other. Some other qualities of a good relationship are emotional control, right? That we're able to kind of not burst out in anger or, you know, can be able to control our emotions, especially in the relationship, because they can, especially with teenagers, get really out of control, right? A sense of safety with that person, that they feel good about being with that person, that they know that they are safe with that person that they're choosing to be in relationship with. And a sense of individuality. You know, that in a relationship, we are a couple, but also we are an individual, right? And then and we know that as adults, right, to be true. Kids don't, right? They may see some examples in the relationships they see in their home lives, or in their family lives, aunts and uncles and things like that. But you know, to know that in a relationship, we are an individual, but also a couple, and those things, not to get lost, our individuality and who we are as a person, not to be lost in that relationship, you know, as a couple. And lastly, and so important, is balance. So really, life is so much about balance, right? Everything is about balance. So, you know, I have to tell kids, too much of anything, even if it's a good thing, can turn into a bad thing, right? So eating, right, eating healthy is a great thing. But when we go to extremes, it can become an unhealthy thing, right? So life is so much about balance, that we know that, you know, keeping that balance between our personal life, our school life, our family life, and keeping that balance and keeping those balls kind of in the air, you know, and juggling that is the balance of life. And very important for us to be able to do. So what is dating violence then? So teen dating violence is a type of intimate partner violence, right? That includes hurting physically someone, punching, pushing, kicking, biting, any sexual kind of violence, being touched when they don't want to be touched, emotional abuse, right? Name calling, things like that, harming, threatening, intimidating the other person, that loss of balance and that shift in we're not equals, but rather I am more powerful than you, right? And so that's where it becomes dysfunctional, right? That's where it becomes problematic. Controlling of another person. So examples of what dating violence may look like, some of what I just mentioned, putting back, put downs, physical or sexual assault, threats to hurt a student or a student's family members, destroying the property that belongs to them, threats to commit suicide or homicide, that does happen, where, you know, I'll just kill myself if you break up with me. This is junior high, right? So we've seen it. Threats to harm students, past or current dating partners, attempts to isolate the student from friends, you know, where they can't hang out with their with the friends they used to have before they met that person. And so, you know, that control of another person, stalking them, following them around, following them in the hallways, those kinds of things, encouraging others to engage in those behaviors. Like, don't hang out with that person. Don't hang out with them. They're this or that. Don't hang. And then isolating that person, making them furthermore, you know, a victim of this violence. So this can become a cycle of abuse as well. Like family violence, dating violence can also follow a cycle of abuse. We may have seen it. You may know people that have been in situations like this, where there is a lot of tension, there's a breakup, there's an imbalance of fear and control. It leads to an incident, a push, a slap, a hit. That turns into the abuser apologizing, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to, I love you, you're everything to me. And then that person reconciling somewhat, and then there's peace and calm for a little while until the cycle begins again, right? And so making sure that kids understand that this is what can happen, and identifying what that is and being able to recognize it and get help. So if in a relationship becomes unhealthy or abusive, what do they need to do? If any of those things are happening to them, what do they need to do, right? First of all, to know that you have a right to be safe and be treated with respect. That is the most important thing that we can say to kids every day, right? They have a right to feel safe. They have a right to be treated and respected by everyone that they meet, adults and peers alike. To speak to a safe adult, you know, to talk to someone if something like this is happening to them. To go talk to a trusted adult, whether it's a counselor, a teacher, a parent, an uncle, an aunt. And if they are fearful of that person, not to break up in person, because that, you know, they might feel they might be in danger if they say, hey, I want to break up, you know, face to face. So knowing how to do that. And so coping with a breakup, right? So that's important to at kids at the junior high level, you know, they're not sure how to process all of these emotions. And so coping with, how do you cope with that? You break up with that person, it's a toxic relationship. How do you deal with that, right? And so most important to talk about it, right? Share your feelings with someone you trust. Give that person space. Limit how much time that you see or hear, want to hear about that person. That happens a lot in junior high. People want to talk about it. Want to talk about it all the time, right? So shutting that down, letting the kids know, here's what you do. You know, shut that down. Don't listen. Don't hear it. Keep yourself busy, right? Whether that is getting into activities again, picking up hobbies they used to do, things they used to do before they got into a relationship that was not good or that didn't end well. and to be kind to yourself, right? So many times as adults, you know, we've been through breakups, in a breakup that we take care of ourselves, right? That we're eating, that we're sleeping, that we are just taking care of our bodies and our minds as we go through a difficult time, because it is a difficult time. And then lastly, to focus on the good, right? So to, oftentimes in a breakup, you know, sometimes it's all about just feeling really sad. but also to find at least one thing that they're grateful for, right? Identifying, what am I thankful for today? This didn't end well for me, but what is something I am grateful for? And so identifying that. And then also providing some hotlines for where kids can get help as well. So just, and of course, as there are references, this is from our approved Texas health book. So all the information is from there, or from the, and from the CDC and the education code.
Is this slideshare presentation given like in one of the classes? Like do the teachers, like a health class maybe, is this presented one day?
So we just created these PowerPoints in an effort to kind of try to get this done, because we know we need to get this done for all students by the end of the school year, right? And so the logistics of how we would present this, you know, we will have, it is an opt-in, right? That is the law, it's opt-in. So we would send out a letter that Mr. Crenshaw has been reviewing, and we'd email that out to parents. And at that point, parents can say, I'm okay with it, or no, I don't want my child to sit in on this presentation. And so at that point, then once we get the, you know, who are our no's, who are yeses, then at that point, then we can go ahead and present to the students whose parents were okay with that, okay, and who get response from. So we either will present this ourselves, right, to our students, either in a classroom setting, or during like an advisory where all the kids can, like at the same time, tune in. So kind of like a Zoom kind of thing where they can all tune in during our advisory, which is our like study hall period, would be some of the options that we're looking at.
Okay, yes. So the process of how you're going to present it hasn't actually been finalized.
Right, okay. Right.
And then another question, you said you're going to send an email to the parents,
right,
to opt in, but how, right, exactly is that going to work? Is there a form attached, or do they have to sign in to, you know, somewhere and give permission? How do you expect to keep track of that?
There is a form.
It literally is a form that goes home with the parents, and you go
home with the students?
Go home with the students.
Oh, so it's not an email.
Well, they might send it to you in email, because okay, and send it home with a student. Somehow or another, you got to get it to the student,
right,
so they can get it to you. And things get home to you a little bit better sometimes through an email than in a kid's backpack. But, okay, you know, teachers and educators are good at knowing how to do that. So
sure,
it'll be a form that you'd be able to read and then either opt in or opt out.
Right. And then where do the students go whose parents do not opt them in?
So what we're going to do is the teachers will like tag team, right? So basically I would take the kids, let's say in my classroom, these are the kids that have yeses, and then the teacher next door, we're going to, let me send your kids who are no's, and then so basically we're swapping kids. We also thought about presenting this to parents like the week before, mm-hmm, and calling a parent meeting, you know, to say if anybody's interested in hearing the presentation as parents, that, you know, it's available to parents. So having a parent meeting, and then, of course, 2 weeks before, mm-hmm, having a parent meeting, sending out the email with the information, and then presenting it to the kids.
Could that meeting be on Zoom so more parents have better access?
I don't see why not. I think that would be fine to have it. Well, I mean, we'd probably do hybrid, where we'd do both.
Okay.
But I don't see why not. I think it's doable for sure.
If a parent doesn't respond,
mm-hmm,
what happens?
That'll be a no.
Because you opted out.
Yeah.
Now Texas law says you opt in. Mm-hmm. So that's law. So we follow the law, and that's how it works. So, but what they're talking about, you know, sounds good to me. Like they're going to hyper communicate with parents and get the word out and do the best that we can, because we want as many kids to be able to see it as possible.
And this is the beginning. Can we implement a program? You know, absolutely. We need time to find the right program and at the right price of how we're going to do that. So, you know, that's definitely something that along the line. But for now, to take care of what we need to take care of to get this information out to kids, we created these PowerPoints.
So this PowerPoint here, I mean, I thought it was very good. Does that suffice for what the law is? I mean,
yes, ma'am. Okay. It is really up to the school board to decide how much of that information, how much you were required to offer it, and to the extent of how you want to offer it, or is totally up to the school board.
And as counselors, y'all see the day in and day out of the kids that are, because they're coming to you, I would assume, maybe, hopefully, if they have issues with, an intimate partner or, you know, love interest. And you feel like this presentation is great information for the folks that you see, the kids that you're seeing, this would be very helpful for them.
Absolutely.
It's very age appropriate.
Yes, I agree. I think it was good.
Is it interactive at all? Like, if there's a student that has a specific question, if they can anonymously post something? Or is it just more of a general, this is what to look for, this is where to contact?
Right, absolutely. I mean, we have a little space for, like, questions and answers, but anything more where there would be more direct help, we would say, sign up to see your counselor, or see us after the session, right, after the presentation, that kind of thing. The kids, for us, can sign up digitally, right? They can sign up from anywhere, anywhere they're at, as long as they have a device. They can sign up to see us through our website. And so it makes it very easy for us to be able to call them, and there's so many ways. You know, a teacher can say, hey, can you see this kid? Or the kids can come in between classes, can I see you today? They can do that, or they can do it digitally and sign up from anywhere, and then we call them. So we try to make ourselves accessible to them, you know, throughout the day.
Thank you.
Yes.
I have another question. I noticed in the presentation it uses the terms intimate partner and safe adult, but are those terms the types of terms that are appropriate to communicate with young people? I had studied the TEETS when I helped with the selection of the textbook, and I didn't notice that being a term that was used.
Right, that is more in the CDC.gov where that terminology is used.
Are we expecting 7th and 8th graders to have intimate partners?
Well,
I'm just curious if
that's that is just like another word for it, right? It's another term for that. That does not specifically specify sexual contact with. Like, intimate doesn't mean like that's going to be someone you're going to have a sexual relationship with, right?
Right.
But it's actually the CDC's new terminology for dating violence.
Okay.
So that's why I put it out there. You're right. It was not in the textbook, but it is the new CDC term, and I wanted for kids to know that, right? To be informed and educated, and this is the new term for this that happens.
Well, I'm glad you said it doesn't necessarily mean sexually connected, because intimate relationship, it could just be your best friend.
Absolutely.
That's the person that knows all your secrets, and
if you think about when a student or anyone, for that matter, goes and speaks with a counselor, that is a form of an intimate relationship, because you're sharing very personal things with that person and expecting them to keep your confidence. So that is a term that the CDC has gone to. And that is also the term that students will see from here forward in literature that they might acquire or in future textbooks as well.
So as much as I disagree with it and don't like it at all, I understand the point. The ones you're trying to reach are using this language, and if you don't use it, you're not going to reach them.
That's correct.
Yes,
that is correct.
Well, they may not be using intimate, they may be using other terms.
Yeah. Whereas we might say husband and wife or boy, girl, if they're saying partner, as much as I don't like it, that's what they're saying.
Oh, so. I see. You're on the word partner. Yeah.
Correct.
I see what you're saying.
So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very well done.
Mm-hmm. Squat. We're going to do a little computer swap here.
We're going to swap here.
There's no dumber person on the planet than the seventh grade boy. I've had four of them in my house. They've all proven to be right.
I raised one as well, so I have to agree with you. Yeah. Love him dearly. Yeah. Junior high years. The first presentation I'm going to share with you today is on human trafficking. It is also a required program that we have to present to all of our students in middle and high school as well. As you can see, we cited that information in this presentation and as the next one you'll see as well. It is required that we present this to all students. So the first thing is we want to make sure that students understand what human trafficking is. Several of them, or perhaps most of them, will not be familiar with that term or have ever heard of that. So it's a modern day form of slavery in which people are forced or pressured into performing labor or sexual acts in exchange against their will. And how it starts. Human trafficking can start in many different kind of ways. The most common ways is for other people to trick others into posting an online job ad or that sounds just too good to be true, or reaching out to someone through social media and asking them to meet up. Once a person responds to these ads or to these promises, they're forced by the poster into certain illegal activities. Human trafficking can also begin in a family or in a relationship. One family member or partner may force the other to work for little to no money or to engage in sexual activity. These kind of people, they also post ads. Sometimes it's family members and partners. They promise potential victims that they'll have better living conditions, housing, make more money, or whatever it is they think may get that person to buy into their scheme. And they do it to try to get people to respond to them or to meet up with them. Mm-hmm. Why are people trafficked? People are involved in human trafficking. They're in it to make money off of those people that will pay for these services and off the people that are being trafficked. Often these people advertise their services online or through social media. Now we all are familiar with kids in social media these days. They're all on it. 95% of the students in our district, especially the middle school and high school kids, are on some form of social media, whether parents allow them to or not. They manage to find it, either through their friends or on their own. So that's one of the huge ways that it's trafficked. Will you back up just a minute, Mr. Fishaw?
Maybe.
Okay. Human trafficking is very common in the city, particularly larger cities, and they have many opportunities to transport people, especially if they're hosting a large event that attracts many people. What's the biggest event that we host down here?
Super Bowl.
Nope. In Corpus, in the coastal
area. No, not here.
Spring break.
Mm-hmm.
Spring break. It is, and every year we have instances of human trafficking that are uncovered during spring break. Okay, go ahead. Types of human trafficking. There's labor trafficking. Employers use threats of violence or imprisonment or deportation to force people to work long hours or for little money. Or we have sex trafficking. People are forced to engage in sexual activity against their will, sometimes for money. Top recruitment tactics for human trafficking. I've got two charts on this. The first one is for labor trafficking, and the second one is for sex trafficking. We've already covered those, so you can advance. So for labor trafficking, the biggest one is promise of a false job offer.
colors didn't transfer very well. But this was a little over 2,000 people that were surveyed that had been trafficked. Most of them were for job offers. The second one was for false promises or fraud, that too good to be true thing. Third was smuggling related. The next one was familia. And then posing as a benefactor. The next one was sex trafficking. The biggest group was intimate partner or a spouse or offering a marriage proposal. The next one was family again. Third was posing as a benefactor. Fourth was job offer. And then the last one was false promises. And
can you go back?
No, that's okay. So the effects of human trafficking on victims. During and even after a person has been trafficked, they may experience physical symptoms, headaches, fatigue, back pain, loss of weight. They may also develop health conditions related to being trafficked, such as heat stroke if they're being trafficked for labor, hypothermia, injuries, frostbite, repetitive motion injuries, respiratory conditions, skin conditions, unwanted pregnancies, and STDs. They also will more than likely develop a mental health condition such as depression, anxiety, substance abuse disorders, PTSD. They're also very isolated because, or sometimes held in captivity, and they tend to withdraw from relationships and social activities. Also, they have a negative effects on families and communities. If a person is trafficked by kidnapping or if the victim is removed from their family or their school or their community, it can lead to grief and loss, not just for the victim, but for the victim's extended family and community as well. Lasting physical and mental health conditions for family and friends due to grief and loss, such as anxiety, depression, PTSD, mental health and it could also lead into substance abuse disorders for those family members and community members. Also, they can feel very isolated, have a lot of stress, and they withdraw again from relationships just as the victims do. Okay, ways to prevent human trafficking. You want to practice safe practices, both at home, online, and in public places. So when you're home alone, you want to make sure you keep your doors and windows locked. Don't go anywhere with someone you do not know well. You do not meet up with someone you know online in person without adult supervision. Just because you know them online, you don't really know them. And that's something that's especially important to stress to our preteens and our teens. They think they meet someone online, oh, that's my friend. You know, I play video games with them, or I snap with them, or I do whatever, X, Y, Z. But do they know them? Lots of times people that are trafficking pose as other teens. You don't give out your personal information in person or online. And you avoid using substances like drug and alcohol because that impairs your ability to make good decisions. Okay. Also, you need to be aware, if someone offers you that too good to be true job, especially if it comes in an online format or social media, you know, we need to remember our teens don't have that background. They don't have that experience to be able to go, oh yeah, that's a scam. Oh no, that's not a healthy thing. They think, oh, that'd be great. You know, I could be on an influencer, or I could be this, because it sounds so good to be true. They promised me I could travel, or I'll be famous, or I'll be this. You know, it's important that we stress to our students and to our children that, you know what, if it sounds too good to be true, or you're really interested in it, talk to a trusted adult. Talk to your parents, talk to your grandparents, talk to a teacher, a coach, your pastor, talk to somebody. Get some advice before you go and give that person information about yourself or meet up with them and make yourself vulnerable. Also, if they promise you gifts, you know, don't take into the gifts. That's another way of trying to gain trust and to get them to buy into the scheme. A person who's being trafficked may be disconnecting from family and friends and community. They may start having continued absences from school. You'll notice sudden and dramatic changes in behavior. They could be disoriented or feel, be confused and have a confused appearance. They may show signs of physical abuse, such as bruises, or weight loss even. They may show signs of emotional abuse. They may suddenly be very timid or fearful or submissive or not wanting to rock the boat in any situation. They may show signs of neglect, such as being denied food, water, sleep, or medical care. They may have frequent contact with someone that controls what they say, where they go, what they do, what they wear. They may not feel that they have the ability to come and go freely, like they need permission to do anything. And they may even lose a sense of time, like where they're at, or what day it is, what month, what year. It's important that students know how to report human trafficking. So I've listed some resources here. There's iWatch Texas, and there's the 809 line and the website. The Texas Human Trafficking Resource Center, that's through the Texas Attorney General's office, and there's the 800 number and the text information, and the National Human Trafficking Hotline. Again, the numbers in the text and the web address. And these are our references. This all came from our TEA and SHAC approved textbook that they use in our health class and from the Texas Education Code. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Is this actually required in high school?
Yes.
Okay, but separate from the health peaks, it's just a standard requirement?
It is a requirement. It does not say that we have to use and follow the TEKS. We chose to.
Okay, yeah, that's great. And then how is this going to be presented?
Again, it'll be in the same format as Ms. De Leon mentioned.
Okay.
We will either do it in the classroom setting, mm-hmm. or we will do it in a Zoom-like setting. Mm-hmm. Again, we will also have the parent information meeting. We will send out the parent permission slip. In fact, when we send out the parent permission slip and have the meeting, it will cover all of these presentations at one time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There's one more.
It didn't automatically advance. Is that a completely different?
It is. If we can. Here, let me go through and you will click on this one. That should be it.
I have one more question.
Sure.
So I guess a concern would be if there are kids who are involved in this, most likely the familial relationship is not going to allow them to go. Mm-hmm. Is this something that there's like, for both dating violence and human trafficking, are there any posters in this school with like QR codes, like contacts? So those are already
there
up
are
that
posters.
They have. So for kids maybe who aren't getting this information through,
yes.
this have some of those contact numbers?
Those posters are actually up. In fact, Ms. Gibson brought them to y'all SHAC committee meeting in September, and y'all saw them.
I wasn't.
And y'all approved
them. Oh, good.
And we have to hang those posters by law in the schools, and they're furnished to us. And like I said, Ms. Gibson brought them to us to the September meeting,
awesome.
And the committee approved them, so they're posted all around the middle school.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just not smart enough to get this on.
Real quick.
I just have another question. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so I see you have the human trafficking presentation, then you have the child abuse, domestic violence. When you send home the parent information and ask for the opt-in and all of that, are you going to be grouping these together in that, you know, parent opt-in form, so you don't have to send, because I'm assuming
right.
you won't do human trafficking and then follow up, because, you know, kids can't pay attention that long
right.
sometimes.
No, we'll have it all listed.
Okay,
on
okay,
one,
perfect.
Because for a variety of reasons. One, we don't want to have to chase down four different sets of permission slips,
right, right,
and that way one can't say, oh, well, I got that one, but I didn't get this one.
Exactly.
And two, you know, like you said, we're going to give a physical one to be taken home and an emailed one, and so it'll be the email one will mirror the physical one. So okay. It'll be all one permission.
Okay. In the Texas Education Code, Section 28, does it state that parents must have access, or there has to be a way for a parent to have access besides the parent meeting, like if they just want to have access anytime? How would they do that? Would they need to come and see you?
They could come up and set up an appointment to see us, and we would be glad to sit down with them and go through the presentation with them and answer any questions they might have.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And before we go, just to comment on what you said a little bit earlier about the kids that are in the most needs sometimes might not be able to make the meeting and reach out. I'm proud that in the district, since Superintendent Solis Garcia has been here, we put several mechanisms in for students to let us know things. One is anonymous alerts. And one is safety at flowerlovesschools.net, and the other is our gaggle, which watches Google traffic through the district. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, those things are highly effective things. And the more we let students know that they're there, the more they feel comfortable letting us know, and they let us know. Mm-hmm. You know, so part of this can be us having a discussion to maybe throw those up on the screen during that presentation to say, you know what. All over, but I think kids are getting to really to know that they can do that. You know?
And just to piggyback on that, we do have a lot of students that not just self-report, but also report, hey, I have a friend, and this mm-hmm. is my friend and what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And they use those avenues to do that.
They really do.
Not only that, we have parents that do that, that say, hey, I've had this child at my home, or I've seen them with me, and this is what I've observed. I'm really concerned. Mm-hmm. I saw this text on my daughter's phone, and it concerned me, and so, you know, I'm sending this in to you to please look into it. So we get that. We deal with that on a daily basis, believe it or not. Those mechanisms that have been put in place have been very successful.
And I thought it was worth mentioning here, so sorry to birdwalk that.
No, that's fine.
What was Gaggle? I've not heard of that.
Gaggle is a program that monitors students' use of Google while they're at school.
Anytime they're working on this. PowerPoint presentation or slides or a Word document or their Google Doc, and they type certain words in.
There's keywords.
There's a filter that picks up those keywords, and we get notification. And then they're ranked. They're either green, yellow, or red. If they're red, I get a phone call from the company, whatever hour it is.
We've had some reds on Saturday or Sunday.
Had phone calls at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, saying, did you see the report? And then I go to the email and look at it, and if it's something that's out there, then we call the principal and we call the police, and they do a wellness check, and they'll go to home.
Is that something kids are communicating with other kids on?
It could be Messenger that they're using as a school system.
Messenger?
Mm-hmm. It could be an assignment that they're working on.
Sure.
It could be a PowerPoint presentation they're working on. Sometimes they'll use it because they know that we're mm-hmm. using it.
Yes.
That we're filtering, right? And that's their way of getting the message across to mm-hmm. us. So they may be typing a journal entry mm-hmm. and or a class assignment, and they'll, in the middle of the night, be typing something. I don't know what to do.
It even helps if they're off campus.
My friend, they could be at home. My friend is in trouble, and then it automatically sends us that message. Mm-hmm. And we get them at all hours of the night.
The NSA did it to you pretty.
Yes, that's right.
I've had students ask me, how did you know about this? I did this at home. And I said, well, you were logged into your school account, so it didn't matter where you were.
It goes through our system, our network, when they're on their account. So. And it does it on employees, too. So if an employee's typing something up and that word comes up, mm-hmm. then it sends that warning to us that, hey, check on this employee because they just typed this in somewhere. We want to make sure everybody's okay. Mm-hmm. So.
In fact, I think we discussed that when we were doing our research that, hey, we're
I'll call you and say, are you okay?
Yes, we're sure.
feel like a lot of
right.
Of
so it does flag it. Yes, I can recall. Okay, our next one that we're going to do covers child abuse and domestic violence. I know in the statute it talks about family violence, but domestic violence is also the term that the CDC is also using these days. So in being more forward thinking and following that trend, I'm using that. So again, this is a required presentation by TDA, so we are submitting it for your approval. So what is abuse? Abuse is the violent mistreatment of another person. It can occur between families, classmates, or romantic partners. There's four types of abuse. There's physical, emotional, sexual, and neglect. So physical abuse. Behaviors that cause physical harm to another person. Examples, hitting, kicking, choking, slapping, biting, burning. Anything that physically harms the body. Signs of abuse can be bruises, black eyes, welts, burns, cuts, broken bones, fear or anxiety, or changes in behavior. Emotional abuse. Emotional abuse is when someone hurts you in ways without touching you. It's the abuse you can't see. Someone yells at you constantly. An adult looking after you threatens to hurt you or leave you. Someone calls you names. Lots of times abuse, like all kinds, is about control, especially emotional abuse. So ways to identify emotional abuse. Withdrawn attitude, unwillingness to talk to others, anxiety, worry, difficulty sleeping, aggressive or inappropriate behavior. Even depression can be a sign of emotional abuse. So sexual abuse. It's identified as behaviors that involve sexual activity to which one person cannot legally consent or does not wish to have. Includes sexual violence, assault, and harassment. Can involve physical behaviors such as touching or sexual intercourse. Can also be non-physical, such as taking nude pictures, exposing one's body's parts, or forcing someone to watch sexual activity. Child neglect. Neglect occurs when an adult intentionally or unintentionally does not meet a child's basic physical, emotional, medical, or educational needs. So you think food, shelter, nutrition. Okay. Failing to provide these things such as adequate food and shelter, safety, medical or psychological treatment, supervision, or clothing. Those are all forms of neglect. Again, we have a cycle of abuse, and the kids will have seen this in the earlier presentation as well. So there's tension building, where things are, communication starting to break down and victimization is happening. Then the incident, whether it's verbal, emotional, physical, you know, anger, blaming, arguing, threats, intimidation. There's reconciliation where the abuser says, oh, I'm sorry, I apologize, I'll never do it again. They make promises, this will be the last time, it will never happen again. And then the calm. The incident is forgotten, it's swept under the rug. Nothing's happening, everything's great. They tied a pretty picture and put the bow on it. And then it starts all over again. So the cycle of abuse. Abuse has serious physical, mental, emotional, and social consequences. Consequences can be short or long term. Often the person who abuses others tries to make the other person feel like it's their fault or it's something they did. And this is never, ever true. And that's one of the things that the students need to understand. It's never their fault. No matter what, the person that's committing the abuse is always the person responsible for the abuse. They're responsible for their behavior, not the victim. Domestic violence. Domestic violence has several forms: child abuse, sibling abuse, and elder abuse. The mistreatment of one sibling by another is sibling abuse. You don't hear about that a whole lot, but it does happen quite a bit. This includes physical, emotional, or sexual mistreatment. And according to some studies, sibling abuse is the most common type of domestic abuse. It's typically one-sided and aims to dominate the person that's being abused. So lots of times you'll see it with older siblings dominating the younger siblings. Elder abuse. It's behaviors or neglect that can cause harm to a person 60 years or older. It includes physical, verbal, emotional, sexual, financial abuse, and neglect. It often occurs in a person's home or in nursing homes or other living situations. And it often goes unreported because if the person's living with you and the elder doesn't have the access to technology or to a cell phone or the transportation or a way to reach out and connect with other people to report the abuse. Preventing abuse. Educational programs give people facts about abuse and helps them recognize when abuse is happening. You know, we all talk about how education is power. It really is in this case. Online government agencies also share information about abusive situation and behaviors and can provide information and resources. And you can also prevent abuse by increasing protective factors and recognizing and reporting abusive behaviors. Protective factors. If you have experienced abuse, seek help from a mental health professional, a counselor, or a trusted adult. Develop effective communication and conflict resolution skills. Find ways to value diversity and respect others. Take steps to improve your mental and emotional health. Seek treatment for physical and mental health conditions and illnesses, and this includes substance abuse disorders. Engage in good self-care. Build a supportive relationship with your school and in your communities, and use your community resources. You need to be able to recognize and report abusive behaviors. Learn about the different types of abuse and the cycle of abuse. Report suspected abuse to a trusted adult, a parent, a teacher, or a counselor, or a minister. Tell somebody. Some professionals are mandated reporters and are required by law to report suspected abuse. As a teacher, as a counselor, we are mandated by law to do that. Health professionals, mandated by law. Really, in the state of Texas, anyone that suspects abuse is mandated by law to report it. A lot of people aren't aware of that. Mm-hmm. That is what the Texas Administrative Code says. Also know the different kinds of abuse and be aware. So these are the abuse hotlines. We have the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. A lot of people know them by CPS. Child Help National Child Abuse Hotline, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and their website. The National Teen Dating Abuse Hotline, and their 800 number, their text number, and their website address, I'm sorry. And of course, 911. Always report child abuse and domestic violence. Some people are afraid to make that phone call because they're worried that, oh, the police are gonna rush in and they're gonna take, or the investigator, and they're gonna take that child away. That's not what you need to be worried about. If you have a suspicion, make the call. It's not your job to investigate it. It's not your job to decide if an abusive situation is happening. That's what the professionals do. They come in, they investigate it, and they make the decision on what happens. Again, Texas state law requires any person who suspects that a child has been physically or sexually abused or neglected to report it promptly to Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Again, that's the 800 number. It also stands for that for elder abuse as well. Again, don't try to investigate it yourself. If there's an emergency and you think it needs immediate, that child or elder needs immediate assistance, call 911. And these are our references. Again, it's our textbook that we use in our health classes and the Texas Education Code. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. On the abuse hotlines page or slide, at the very bottom, there's a loveisrespect.org website listed. Have you looked at that website?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
Okay. I have too, and that's something that is concerning, I think. Just referring students to that website in particular.
Love is Respect.
Love is Respect.
Yeah.
Who runs it?
It is a non-profit organization, and they do educational seminars and things with this nature.
Yeah, they're located in Austin and federally funded.
Through the CDC?
Yeah, Health and Human Services.
What is the problem?
They have a Health and Human Services grant.
With the, what is the problem, though, that you're concerned about with the Wellness?
I would just encourage everyone to go and look at it. I mean, y'all need to form your own thoughts on that, but I suggest everyone looks at it.
Is it .org? Wellnessrecept.org?
One of the reasons I went ahead and listed it on there is the kids are very into texting, and it was one of the ones that did have an ability to text in, and I would rather the children have a way to report it themselves should they need to, and if their only way is to text it, that's another option for them to get help.
And I would agree with that. I don't agree with most of what's on the behind the scenes of that website, but I agree, if it's a way for them to talk, it's worth it.
Yes. Because keep in mind, all of these references there, they are not the ones that go and respond. They, in turn, take that call, or caller, or texter, or poster, however that they choose the medium to make contact, they turn that over to the appropriate law enforcement agency. So it's a way for them to connect to help and to law enforcement. Any other questions?
So are you ready for this one here?
That's it.
One more quick comment. On that cycle of abuse, one thing that I noticed is the fourth one is reconciliation. Do you think it's important for students to understand that sometimes abuse happens without reconciliation, meaning the abuse can happen over and over, whoever's abusing never apologizes? And I just thought that might be something to communicate, because that is also, that wouldn't necessarily fit into that cycle, but students need to know there's not always that reconciliation period. The abuse continues, just a suggestion.
I think you're misconstruing what they're trying to get, the point they're trying to make. What they're saying is it is a cycle, and they try to reconcile. And there is a semblance of reconciliation, like, oh, it's all fine, we're great, and
yeah,
then it starts
again.
Yeah,
that's important too, yeah.
And like I said, this graphic and that information came straight from the textbook that this committee
yeah.
Did.
So, first things
Thank
first,
you.
I would really like to commend our junior high counselors
yeah,
for really doing the work sincerely. I really
yeah.
appreciate
it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you guys should get out of here. Go see your families. And I'm not running you off. I'm just running you off.
Thank you for being so attentive.
Thank you all for letting us come share this with y'all and for your support.
So do all of you have, last meeting, Cindy Holder presented on Catch Your Breath. Curriculum, main curriculum. So I have a flyer. Do you have it already? Yeah. And that flyer, it just serves as a reminder. You guys had all this information, and we had Cindy present it. And one thing I do like about the curriculum is the cost is free. It's supported by CVS. And it's time now for us to vote on that. And so I've got some official ballots here, and voting members.
Did anybody else have questions about that? I'm just curious.
Okay.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions, but I think he's not here. I like that. I don't know if y'all how much y'all looked at the lessons, but one thing I really liked is at the very end of the junior high, I think, and maybe at the high school, it asked for the students' commitment, you know, which like a worksheet, and I think that's so important for our young people to understand. Even though, you know, I'm young, I can still make a commitment to a behavior, and just to write that down, plants it in their mind and their heart really long term, I think. So I liked that about Catch, and I don't see that a lot, you know, in certain types of programs. So
my only question, not really about the program itself, but I could mention, and maybe this is something, if I feel strongly, I just need to email a specific person, but I like, because you guys in that meeting were talking about specific cases of teens who you kind of feel like won't really take this under consideration, and I had mentioned, well, if a student, you know, like I said, like a defensive driving course you have to take if you get a ticket, like if they're caught on campus, like requiring to do this course however many times, you know, when they, like if they get caught vaping when they're in detention or whatever, they have to complete the course.
Right.
And then a week later they do the same thing, they've got to retake the course, like as a part of a disciplinary type.
Well, I really think it's a good idea, and as administrators and with Cindy, we can talk about it, and I'm going to tell you right now, she's got plenty of customers over there from Bake.
The only thing I thought, like, you know, they might get tired of hearing it, but it's just one of those things, you got to do it over and over again. It's like, you know what, I'm not going to get caught vaping at school because I don't want to take that dumb course one more time. You know what I mean? Like, kids are kids, and you know, they're not always the whatever, but bore them enough with facts and...
Agreed.
Maybe it'll
take it back.
Yeah. And something like
yeah, well, sometimes you're given a message and you don't think they're receiving a message, but they actually are receiving a message. You know? They're too cool to let you know, but sometimes, yes, ma'am.
So this program will only be utilized at this point for the SDGC?
No, I think I think we're doing as a council here is putting together materials that then our staff can decide when and where to use it. Mm-hmm. I think our charge isn't about when and where to use materials. Our charge is about, is this good material, period. So there's a thousand different ways they could use the materials, but for me, we're just trying to get a library of materials.
I think that's a good way to see it. Mm-hmm. We're building the database. How y'all access it?
We're building it very slowly, but we're building it. So. Can I come around and pick those up? Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I'll quickly tabulate. I can feel the anticipation in the room. Okay, that's a unanimous pass. So thank you. Next item, I don't really believe it's standing beyond the agenda, the updates from nursing or nutrition. Do we have anything that we need to share?
I would like to just share a little something about the supper program.
Okay.
We have actually reached out to the schools. We did a flyer and we put it in all of the teachers' boxes. And we've also reached out to the clubs because we're trying to encourage the students and let them, you know, we're still trying to get the word out just to let them know that we're having the program. And we've actually got a really great response and our numbers have been going up. So we're really happy about that.
Okay.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. And anything from the nursing front?
Luckily, nothing.
No pandemic happening or anything else.
Thank God.
We appreciate it, and I've been a little bit all over this agenda, but it looks like we're about to get it done. I want to kind of just tell you a little bit of the lay of the land right now. Our junior high counselors, they're really working hard and to bring that to you.
Yeah.
And so the year is getting behind us here. You know, we're going to be the spring break before you know it. So this group only has one more required meeting, but if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to, in the next couple of weeks, call a meeting to only vote on that curriculum that was presented to you today, both of those, mm-hmm. so that I can then get them to the board the very next school board meeting, and these counselors of ours can get to work.
That's
a great idea. So I'm going to kind of try to get something on the books. We'll look at the calendar tomorrow, and it'll be a 15-minute meeting. It'll be about voting on those two items. And then we'll have our last meeting more toward the middle of the semester. And I really do appreciate the professionalism of this council and your dedication to it. I appreciate it very much. If there is no other comments or anything, we can...
I just have one quick yes. question. Were we ever going to vote on that Youth Odyssey, the after-school program, or
Jason's we voted on.
Okay, it was the Youth Odyssey.
And thanks for reminding me of that. That's going to the board January this month.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And yes, we tabled Odyssey. But if you'd like, we could just do all three of those in this little quick meeting, and it's either thumbs up or thumbs down for those three, and we get to moving on.
That's good.
Okay, thanks for that reminder. Okay, so we'll have that quick meeting, and then we'll have one more, maybe right after spring break, something like that. And I really do appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be with Shaq. It's been a pleasure. So at least we'll see you. Thank you.